The danger of believing what you want to believe. Holy Ghost is going to reveal to us why it is so precarious to believe what we want to believe, whether it is a positive believing, something that we've deluded ourselves with in hopes of something that isn't really even there, or whether it's something negative where we're not believing His word and His promises. He says that the danger of believing what you want to believe is you will not believe me. We cannot be half and half. We can't believe Him and believe lies. It is one way or the other, no fence sitting with truth. Truth is a shield. It cuts away lies. It protects us. It keeps us from the snares of the devil. Now, believing what we want to believe comes from a reliance on self. We think that self will carry us through. Self-reliance, self-knowledge, self-righteousness, none of that will perform what we're looking for it to do. It says in Psalm 118, 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's confidence in us, ourselves as well. Not just man externally, or woman, preaching, teaching, CDs, recordings, anything else, books. It means it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man, ourselves. It includes that. If you believe what you want to believe, rather than the truth, which you may want to believe, if you do, then you're in line with God, and you are going to experience freedom and joy and peace. But if you believe what you want to believe, and it is not the truth, your heart will be embezzled. It will be used. It will be crucified. It will be maligned. It will be pummeled by all and sundry, whether it is by people, whether it is by the enemy, whether it is by people that are used by the enemy, whether it is even by your own delusions. Delusions, whether they are good or bad in content, are still lies. It doesn't make them any better if just because they are not in a negative frame of thinking. For instance, you might be involved with people, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's people in the church, the brethren, that you want to believe are sincere. You hope to believe that they're sincere. You might have a few questions that perhaps they're not, but in your involvement, you're finding there's holes. There's difficulties, there's trials, there's seduction, there's deceit. But you don't want to believe it because you want to believe what you want to believe. And we think that's good as Christians. Well, I should believe something good about this person, should never judge them, should never say anything wrong. And I'm not talking about running around criticizing everyone and putting them up on some kind of poll for everyone to mock or malign. We're talking about being honest to God, honest with ourselves, honest with the brethren, and not playing games at all, in any way. We cannot afford to believe what we want to believe. We can only believe the truth. That is the only thing that will keep us safe. For He is truth. We can even do this in a situation for a healing. We can believe what we want to believe, which is, well, I haven't been healed yet in 5 years, so obviously God doesn't want to heal me, or I'm doing something wrong, or I'm bad, or it's all about me and how much faith I have or how strong I am. And once again, you're believing what you want to believe. What does the word say? The word doesn't say that you have to suffer through this. In fact, someone gave me very recently, a very dear brother, said this, and I thought, what an amazing word. Not all suffering is God's suffering. The enemy will make you suffer as well. And he will convince you as a Christian that that suffering is for God's good, is for the sake of Christ, is because you love God and you're willing to endure, you're willing to overcome. No, not all suffering is God's suffering. If it's not because of persecution for his name's sake, but instead the enemy has sent someone into your life to destroy you inch by inch until you're devoured by the evil one, that is not from God. Yes, we can still triumph. Yes, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. He will make sure of that. But we don't have to sit in that suffering and call it God. Because if we're going to believe what we want to believe, we will stay in those situations that are intolerable, that are not, it's not a trial that you're going through, that God is then testing you and strengthening you. He will do that in those trials. But we have to not allow ourselves to be seduced by what the enemy sends to us and call it from God. Because what does God say? Again, in Psalm 118, an amazing psalm, says, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a spacious place. So obviously God isn't saying you have to be in this hellish relationship or in this workplace where things are continually going wrong, or where where I never placed you, but you put yourself there thinking that was the right thing to do. We have to ask him, what's the right thing to do, Lord? We have to seek Holy Spirit on all our direction, because if we're led by him, we're sons of God. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh also includes that same thing that is really pride, but we don't think it's pride. Self-condemnation. That is also pride. That's the flip side of pride. False humility. Well, if I was better at praying, these things wouldn't happen. If I had more faith, I would be well by now. All of those things that we do, it's still about us. Our focus is in him. We must admit we are not God. We are not in charge of the universe. We have our part to play, but it is a part, and a part only. And we must let the awesome God be the one who is exalted, be the one who we trust, and be the one who is glorified. It says in John 14:17, when Jesus is speaking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit coming, he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He will be in you is us. He lives in us. And if truth lives in us, what are we doing believing what we want to believe? For whatever reasons, whether it's because we want people to be pleased with us. Look at me, I'm suffering in a horrible situation. Aren't I good? Whether it is that we believe we deserve it because of perhaps, you know, past issues in our lives. Whether it is that we feel we will then be praised for what we're undergoing, even by God, and he's going to approve of us, it's still not listening to him. We have to take every single issue, every single step to the Holy Spirit, who what? Dwells in us and is the Spirit of truth. Only he can divide lies and truth, not us. We still run around half blind often because we're not listening to the Spirit of truth. Because we believe what we want to believe. And we might find 20 years later that we've been living in a complete delusion. And we didn't even know it. And that is a complete tragedy for a Christian. Because we are to be the bearers of truth, sharing with the whole world what Jesus has done. Not being beaten up by the enemy under some guise of this is the suffering from God because he's going to put you through this trial so that you can then endure and grow up. Be clear who brought it. Ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is this from you? Am I so supposed to endure this? Because I'm going to grow up into all things in Christ and you are teaching me something? Or is this a lie from Satan that is so clever and so twisted and so entwined in my life that I didn't even know I was being deceived? We must be that honest. We must be humble enough to admit we may have made a mistake. Don't be afraid of being honest with him. If you're honest with God, he can be honest with you. Because you will hear him. What we tend to do is we don't want to hear certain things because we want to believe what we want to believe. That's the danger. So we won't hear what he's saying. What if he tells you something that's coming that is not what you want to hear? It's not something that you've planned. It's something, in fact, you've been hoping would never happen. But he's told you. But because you want to believe what you want to believe, you're not listening and you have a deaf ear to what he says. You're not going to pray about it. You're not going to cooperate with him. You're not going to do your part. And you're going to end up in a situation that he never called for you to be in. We need to wake up, church. We need to be vigilant. Because he says, what does the enemy do? He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. If he can convince you to believe something that isn't true, and then it's something you want to believe, he has got you hook, line, and sinker. And until you're willing to go humbly to the throne of grace and say, I don't even understand what's happening, or this is too overwhelming, or have I made a mistake? Lord, please help me. Then his mercy is available. Then his mercy pours out, refreshing you, cleansing you, healing you, and showing you the way that you need to walk in whatever the situation is. In this time coming, believers, we are going to have trial upon trial upon trial. And they are trials that in some instances are sent by the enemy. In some instances are brought by our own foolishness. And in some instances are an opportunity for God to see us be champions in the faith. But we must ask him, which is which? And not assume. We have a very linear and one-dimensional understanding of Christianity. And so we think if we're suffering, somehow we're being a good Christian. This is what a good Christian is. Instead of asking him, Lord, is this what you want for me? Is this your will? Because if it's your will, I will go through it and endure it, but I'm going to need your grace. If it is not your will, I'm asking you to deliver me and set my feet in a spacious place. We can ask that of him. It does not mean we're chickening out. It does not mean we are dishonoring God. It means we're actually going with his will. Even when others may mock, may discredit us, may malign us, may criticize and judge us, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to believe? What we want to believe because it makes us comfortable, maybe even in discomfort, or what he says we are to believe? He's written a whole book about what we're to believe. It's pretty easy. And then, on top of that, what has he done? He said, by the way, I know you won't understand the book without me, so I'm going to indwell you. So you can not only understand the book, but I am going to speak to you individually. I'm going to have an intimate relationship with you where we can be closer than close, closer than Jesus was with the disciples. I'm going to give you that so that you never have to be lost again because you are my sheep and you hear my voice. And I know you. And isn't that what he wants for us? And isn't that what we want? To be known? If we love him, and he says if we love him, we will follow what he says. We will follow what he teaches us. And if we love him, we are known by him. Don't be afraid to admit you've messed up. We all mess up. Don't be afraid to tell him, oh my goodness, the last 10 years, I was in some kind of delusion. I thought I was going the right direction, Lord. I thought this was from you. I really did, and I wanted to please you so badly that I walked this way. And now I see I was wrong. I need your help. I need to know how to walk this out. I need to know how to be set free, or I need to simply let you set me free. He will still walk you through it, and there will still be a trial. Because if you're in a situation where you shouldn't have been in, it's not like you're just going to snap your fingers and instant removal. There will be things that need to be dealt with. Things that need to be worked out. Things that need to be finished. Things that need to be started. But at least you will not be believing what you want to believe. You will be believing Him. That's what we're meant to do. Jesus said it. Believe in God and believe also in me. We're to believe in Him. And what does it mean to believe in Him? It means to have total confidence, total faith, total assurance that He really is worthy of our trust in every moment of every day. And it isn't something that you have to beat yourself into submission to, or you have to be whipped to believe. It is through relationship with Him. That's what Jesus bought for us. A true living relationship with God Almighty. A living faith. A living faith where you can trust what you believe. And you can believe what you trust. Don't let the enemy embezzle your heart. It is not his to use or make a mockery of. It belongs to God. And God alone. And just because the enemy is clever enough, for he's been doing this for centuries, to send people and situations into your life that don't belong to you. They don't belong to you. They're not yours. They're not from God. He did not set it up. That wasn't the destiny he planned for you. It says that he's ordered our steps. He orders the steps of a righteous man and woman. And he delights in their ways. He doesn't set up some kind of booby traps along the way of your life to have you fall into, or pits where it's going to take you years of struggle to get out. That is not what Jesus bought for us. That does not mean we won't be tempted. That does not mean we won't have testings. That does not mean we won't have trials. But we must see, what is the source of this trial? Am I believing the truth, or am I believing what I want to believe? And sometimes believing what we want to believe, in fact, always, if believing what we want to believe is not in line with what God says, we are then targets and pawns of the devil. And he will use us and abuse us and draw us from the living God and a living faith. If Satan can make you believe that what God said isn't true, but what he says is true, you will be defeated. Now, we all hear that he's a defeated foe, and he is. Jesus Christ accomplished all of it. Nonetheless, we have to live all of it out. We can choose to believe God or Satan. And depending on which one we believe, that's what our life will look like. It'll be a reflection of one or the other. Jesus defeated him. Now we have to live in that truth. And how do we do it? By self-reliance? By believing what we want to believe? By self-talk? By self-righteousness? By self-delusion? No! We walk it out through the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but we can, and we have, and he's in us. And we need to defer to him, for he's our leader. He leads, we follow. If we lead, he doesn't follow. We're just on our own, leading. He waits. He sometimes prods, he chastens, but he doesn't follow us. He will not bless what is not of him in our lives as believers. I know he makes the sun shine on the wicked and the good. But he will not bless in a believer's life unrighteousness, lies, deceit, deception, delusion. He will not bless any of that. He will not bless you believing what you want to believe instead of believing him. That receives no blessing from him. So what's our answer? Believe me, he says. Believe me. How do we believe him? We come to a place of communion, of unity, of relating, of being real with him, of submitting to him. We can't resist the devil unless we submit to God. We resist the devil without submitting to God. That's submitting to the devil. We must submit to God. We must yield. We've got to give in. Some people don't like even that word. I've had believers find it offensive, giving in. Yes, surrender, give in. Say, uncle, yes, you're God, I'm not. You know everything, I know nothing. Now I can walk with you. How simple. But we want to be in charge. And we're not. That's believing what we want to believe. I believe I'm in charge of this situation. No, you're not. You have a part to play. You're involved in it. And your will, yes, could defy God's will. But you're still not in charge. And until we yield our wills to his will, which will allow us to believe him, not what we want to believe, we will be going around in circles over and over and over and wondering why we've never grown up. And that is not a believer's life, and that is not our inheritance, and it's certainly not the legacy we want to leave. So if he's promised you something, whether in the written word, whether in your heart, whether in dreams or visions, and you know it's from him, then believe him. Not what the enemy sends. If you have a huge promise that he has given you, you will be hit hard by the enemy to try to steal that promise, just as he does when we're first saved. He wants to convince you it's all ridiculous. It's not true. There is no God, or there's not a God like this. He'll deceive you, whatever he can do to draw you away. He will do the same with the promises of God. If we listen to him, we will be confused, we will be frightened, we will be defeated. If instead we don't believe what we want to believe. Do you know often believing what we want to believe is not because we want to believe bad things or believe that God is not who he says he is or God isn't trustworthy. It's because we're listening to the devil day and night and we're feeding it almost like a MP3 player. And it's just going around and around and around in our heads. What the devil says, what the devil says, what the devil says, what the devil says. Why don't we fill ourselves not only with the written word of God, but the living relationship that we can have with Holy Spirit, his truth, moment by moment, speaking really deeply to our hearts, laughing with us, joking with us, chastening us when necessary, telling us the next step, exhorting us, encouraging us. Real life. God is real. God is real. And if we listen to him, we will believe not what we want to believe. We'll believe him. And what will happen after that is believing him will be what we want to believe. So let's just pray. Oh, Lord, we want to believe what you want us to believe, not what we want to believe. We ask you to help us, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the living God living in us, to believe what you want us to believe, the truth, the way, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen.